Hello, everyone, and welcome to Podcast of 1,000 Holds. My name's Mike. So it's been 10 days since my last episode was released, June 19th, and a lot has happened in wrestling, a lot to the point where, at least that I'm interested in talking about, that is, where I almost did a short episode last week, but then my work schedule got the best of me, and it just didn't happen. But, and I'm going to talk about quite a bit this week. So, New Japan Pro Wrestling put on a few shows over the weekend that I didn't watch until after the fact. They put on some Kazuna Road 2018 in Tokyo, June 17th and 18th and 19th. So I'm just going to talk about the highlights matches on these. In his first title defense, which was a rematch against Hiroki Goto, Michael Elgin lost the Never Open Weight Championship, making him the shortest reigning champion at 8 days. It was a great match, and that main event of night one. Night two, main event was Hiromu Takahashi against El Desperado for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. I thought this match was okay. Hiromu started to do a lot of the same bits over and over again in his matches, and it's one of those things where it's cool the first time, not as cool the second time, less cool the third time. Every match can't be a battle all over the arena match. So, anyways. It was pretty solid. June 19th, we got the Super Strong Machine retirement ceremony. Alright, so Super Strong Machine was one of the machines. Bill Eadie, Mass Superstar, Demolition Axe, he was the Super Machine. Andre the Giant was the Giant Machine. Blackjack Mulligan was Big Machine, and then they had a bunch of others, like Hulk Hogan Russell as Hulk Machine one time. And so this was his official retirement ceremony. Now, he hadn't wrestled a match since 2014, and he didn't wrestle on this night, June 19th. He just managed. However, all the people representing him wrestled as a machine. So the main event featured L.I.J., and Tetsu Naito, Evil, Sonata, Bushi, Hiromu Takahashi taking on, and these are all Super Strong Machine and then the name. So, like, Super Strong Machine Ace was Tanahashi. Super Strong Machine Buffalo was Tenzan. Dawn was Nakanishi. Super Strong Machine Justice was Yuji Nagata. And Super Strong Machine number 69 was Taguchi. And they all wore the traditional singlet and pants. So, single strap singlet with long pants and boots, and they all had different colors. And they all wore a machine mask matching the color of their outfit. It was fun. It was cool. And the finish came when Super Strong Machine number 69, a.k.a. Taguchi, pinned Bushi with the Devil's Windmill Suplex, which was one of Super Strong Machine's finishes. Staying on the New Japan world, they have the G1 Climax 2018 is coming July 14th through August 12th. You should get New Japan World just to watch this whole thing, which is pretty spectacular. All 19 shows will be live on New Japan World, which is more than what they did for the Super J. They will all have English commentary. And I assume that would mean that Kevin Kelly will be there every night with a rotating color guy, and then Don Callis will be in for maybe the opening shows and the final shows. But I expect Kevin Kelly to definitely be there every night. Block A features Michael Elgin, Evil, Bad Luck Fale, Toji Makabe, Okada, Hangman Page, Minoru Suzuki, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Jay White, and Yoshihashi. So everybody in Block A is going to wrestle each other in a round-robin style thing. I'm looking forward to seeing, like, Minoru Suzuki against Michael Elgin. I'm looking forward to seeing Hangman Page against pretty much everybody, especially Okada. I'm looking forward to seeing Minoru Suzuki against Jay White. So it'll be interesting. However, Block B, Block B is the bee's friggin' knees, if you ask me. Hiroki Goto, Kota Ibushi, Tomohiro Ishii, Tetsu Naito, Kenny Omega, Juice Robinson, Zack Sabre Jr., Sonata, Tama Tonga, Toriano. Except for Toriano, I could toss him out. Every other person in this block, I can't wait to watch them wrestle each other. Kenny Omega versus everybody on here. Awesome. Zack Sabre Jr. versus everybody on here. Awesome. Tamatanga versus everybody on here. Sonata versus everybody on here. Literally, even Yano's matches with people, especially the Ishii match where they're a tag team, but literally every single match in Block B I'm excited about watching. Like, there's not a bad combination here. It's going to be great to see Juice Robinson wrestle some of these guys he's never wrestled before. It's going to be great to see Zack Sabre Jr., because now apparently he's a heavyweight officially, wrestling a lot of these guys. I'm a big fan of Tama Tonga. So Block B is completely stacked. It's completely awesome. I'm super excited about Block B on this G1 Climax. And it's just such a stacked lineup compared to Block A. Yeah. I don't know why they heavy loaded it so bad on one side, but yeah, I'm good with it. I am good with it. I'm going to talk about the New Japan G1 card in July that's happening in the Cow Palace on the next episode. So I didn't forget about it. I'm just going to talk about that next episode. I guess let's jump to some WWE stuff, shall we? Alright, so Shinsuke Nakamura on SmackDown Tuesday night, when he came out after losing his match to AJ Styles at Money in the Bank. I loved his excuse. He said the only reason why he lost the Last Man Standing match is because the referee counted way too fast, and he didn't even count in Japanese, so it wasn't fair. Love it. Absolutely love it. I also like the direction of them going with Nakamura against Jeff Hardy. I still want to see Nakamura and Styles, like, every day. But Nakamura versus Jeff Hardy, there's no complaints for me on that. SmackDown had an excellent gauntlet match where Rusev submitted Miz to become the number one contender. And I love someone else is getting a chance at the title, and I'm glad it's Rusev. I think he and Styles can have an excellent match together. I'm excited. I'm very excited about it. SmackDown is just so much better than Raw as of late. It's, yeah. Big Cass got released. There's a multitude of reasons. It is what it is. I don't care. This is pretty exciting news. WWE and Noah in Japan have come to a working agreement that will have Hideo Itami return to the promotion that he flourished in for 13 years as Kenta this August. When I first made these notes, it was rumored what his match was going to be, and then since then it has been confirmed that on in August he'll be wrestling Mara Fuji, who's celebrating his 20th year in wrestling, and they've announced the match. This will be exciting. These two guys were a tag team. They're winning the junior heavyweight and heavyweight titles in Noah together. They were the Wrestling Observer Tag Team of the Year in 2003 and 2004, and then they had and then against each other they had the Tokyo Sports Match of the Year in October 29th, 2006. When they wrestled for Mara Fuji's Noah Global Honor Championship title. So, I mean, let's face it. Itami just been floundering in the WWE between starts and stalls and injuries. And now he's on 205 Live, but he's not even in the title picture. It's been a long 4 years in WWE. I don't think he's accomplished what he's wanted. I don't think that we've gotten the payoff that we wanted to get the payoff for on him. But him returning to Noah, the place where, again, he just was a star for so many years, maybe this will be what he needs to revitalize himself, you know, even for the one match. I really think it's awesome WWE, I can't even talk, WWE is doing this, allowing Kenta to go back to Noah to wrestle that match. Just like having Adam Cole wrestle Walter on Evolve 107 in Melrose, Mass. Back on June 24th. I know that he's an NXT wrestler, but still, the fact that you're seeing this more and more. Cassius Ohno in the Super Strong Style 16 tournament for Progress this past May. It's exciting. It's nice. It's refreshing. It's a lot of adjectives to describe WWE doing some cool stuff with other promotions. Now, will we ever see guys who are on the quote-unquote main rosters of Raw and SmackDown wrestling and these other promotions? Probably not. But just still the same that they're doing what they're doing is exciting enough. All right. So, more WWE news, I guess. The Mae Young Classic tapings have been announced. They'll be August 8th and 9th. It's going to be at Full Sail Live. There'll be 32 competitors representing 12 countries. You know, last year, Mae Young Classic, for me, the first round, I don't know if it was because they just didn't have the talent depth they wanted, or because they stuck in too many of their trainees from the Performance Center to try and give them a little rub. But the first round was kind of just bleh, except for Tessa Blanchard against Kairi Sane. However, the second round matches, they were nothing to shake a stick at all. They were pretty damn awesome, including, especially going into the finals. The only thing that really, really sucks the most for me, that is they have announced all the talent that is going to be at the Progress shows. And I have tickets to Progress on August 5th in Melrose, Mass. It's actually a double shot that day with Evolve. And at first, when you watch the video and they announce the talent, they don't tell you that, well, not every wrestler is going to be appearing on every card. That sort of sucks. Like, the one person I really wanted to meet the most was Toni Storm. And she's going to be there August 4th in Philly, and then August 11th and 12th in Chicago and Detroit. However, she's not going to be in Melrose on August 5th. Or New York on the 7th and Seattle on the 9th. And the only thing I can think of, it's because of the Mae Young Classic. So that really sucks, because I really wanted to meet and see Toni Storm. But, I mean, it is what it is, I guess. And in fact, Jenny, or the only other woman wrestler on the card, is also not going to be at the Progress show. She also is just going to be at the 4th, 11th, and 12th. So I'm assuming she's also going to be at the Mae Young Classic tapings. However, the wrestlers we are getting August 5th, Progress World Champion Travis Banks, the Progress Tag Team Champions, the Grizzled Young Vets, Zach Gibson and, I can't remember the other guy's name, don't care. WWE UK Champion Pete Dunne, Mustache Mountain and Trent Seven and Tyler Bates. I'm very excited to see those guys live. I've never seen them live. Flash Morgan Webster's going to be there, Jimmy Havoc, Mark Andrews, Eddie Dennis, CCK, and, I mean, that's just part of the talent that's been announced that's going to be there. I'm sure there'll be some more. I don't care. It's looking excellent. I'm very excited for that show on August 5th. I know it's a month, just over a month away, but still, I'm very excited for that. I've never seen a lot of these guys. Progress Wrestling is some really great wrestling over in the UK. I am a little concerned about the newly announced NXT UK show, and they're actually going to have, they have taping set up in July, August, October, November. A lot of the talent that is postered for that is a lot of the Progress talent plus other UK talent, so I am a little concerned how that is going to affect promotions like Progress and what they're going to be able to have for talent, or how they're going to survive, or I don't know. I just hope it works out. Earlier in the day, because it's a double shot, like I said, with Evolve Wrestling. Evolve has also announced talent that's going to appear on the show, and I'm excited to see a lot of these guys live for the first time, and see a lot of these guys I've already seen before. But who they have advertised include Matt Riddle, the Evolve Champion, Austin Theory, Chris Dickinson and Jaka, A.R. Fox, Darby Allin, Shane Strickland, Joey Janela, Penelope Ford, Tracy Williams, Anthony Henry, J.D. Drake, Josh Briggs, The End, and more. So again, a lot of great guys I've never seen. Excited to see them for the first time. Some guys I've seen before. Excited to see them again. It's going to be a great day of wrestling going down to Melrose, Mass. On August the 5th for two shows, one day. And we already got all our tickets. So, me and my buddy Mikey. It's going to be awesome. I want to talk a little bit more about, Sami Zayn's out with two torn rotator cuffs. He's most likely going to be out the rest of this year. That really sucks, because I'm really enjoying Keeley, smarmy heel Sami Zayn, so. Madison Square Garden. I talked about it a little bit, maybe I think last week. I definitely wrote a big blog about it on the Wrestling Insomniac. You should go read. That came out last week. But Madison Square Garden, Ring of Honor had a date, apparently April 6th, 2019, the Saturday before WrestleMania, the same night as NXT TakeOver, and they were going to run a big joint show with New Japan, and WWE reached out to MSG, and apparently the date's been pulled. And again, WWE did have that right to block things, block it, due to their contract with MSG, and Ring of Honor's pissed about it. I don't have the statements in front of me, but one of their executives was on a call-in show or podcast, and he talked briefly about this, and that's where the information came about what the specific date was of the show and the fact that it had gotten pulled by WWE, by Madison Square Garden and everything. And so You know, I haven't heard anything more about the AAA events, but maybe. I mean, the agreement with WWE can't last forever that Madison Square Garden has. So when that expires, I don't see them renewing it, apparently, at this point, unless WWE starts picking up the pace and running shows there. I know they have a show coming up in a little over a week at the Garden. It's supposed to be Ronda Rousey's debut at the Garden. So, I don't know. I guess we'll see. To be continued. Sticking with some WWE UK stuff, they had the United Kingdom Championship tournaments finally aired on June 25th and June 26th. I watched them both, not live as they aired, but they weren't live anyways. But anyways, Zach Gibson really was a big standout on this card. I mean, he won all three of his matches via submission with his finish, defeating Jack Gallagher, and then Flash Morgan Webster, and then Travis Banks in the end. You know, they did something I don't like that WWE does, where they paint a wrestler like Travis Banks, who, if anyone's watching this, anyone that's been watching wrestling, watching Progress or other promotions, you know, coming into this UK thing, especially for the fans there in attendance, but like, we know who Travis Banks is. You know, he's the Kiwi Buzzsaw, he's the Progress World Champion. And yet, they try to completely change who he is, his style of wrestler, or how he is. And it kind of annoys me a little bit. You know, like, they really were painting him as, like, the little guy, the underdog. And that's really not at all who he is. So, that kind of annoys me a little bit. They had the women's Fatal 4-Way, and it's funny because when Toni Storm came out first to a huge pop, they announced it as the announcer said this was a Fatal 4-Way, and then when everyone got into the ring, they started the match like it was a triple threat. And I knew it originally when they taped it was a Fatal 4-Way, and then Jenny got injured on a dive to the floor, and so they kind of restarted the match, if you will, after she was brought out. But it was a solid match. You know, Toni Storm won, getting the pin. I think it was on Isla Dawn. I don't know. I enjoyed the match. I thought it was good. Obviously, the match of the night, hands down, British Strong Style, together for the first time in NXT, Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne, and Trent Seven, defeated the Undisputed Era and Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, and Roderick Strong. Just go watch this match. Do yourself a tremendous favor and watch this match. And watch just how damn good these six guys are together. Holy shit. Go watch this match. I can't sell it enough. Go watch the match. Night two. The opening contest saw Mustache Mountain, Tyler Bate, and Trent Seven defeat the Undisputed Era of Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong to win the NXT Tag Team Championships. Once again, holy shit. Go watch this match. You cannot go wrong with this match. It is absolutely amazing. It's one of the better tag team matches this year. The pop when Mustache Mountain got the win. Shit. Go watch this match. Go do it. Go do it right now. Stop what you're doing. Go watch the match. Noam Dar defeated Travis Banks, Flash Morgan Webster, and Mark Andrews in a Fatal 4-Way to become the new number one contender to the WWE United Kingdom Championship. Dar's making his big return after being out several months due to injury, so good for him. Adam Cole defeated Wolfgang to retain the NXT North American Championship. It was okay. Adam Cole's awesome. He was over huge. His post-match celebration with the crowd was knuckin' futz. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Aleister Black and Ricochet defeated EC3 and Velveteen Dream. This was a great tag match, in my opinion. Shayna Baszler defeated Toni Storm by countout. Yeah. Toni Storm's awesome. And Pete Dunne defeated Zach Gibson to retain the UK Championship in the main event. This was a really good match. It was a different style match than we basically saw the last 2 days. This was a very, you know, striking, heavy, joint manipulating, working the arm. It was a great match. Pete Dunne has, you know, I'm really glad that Vince McMahon doesn't have control over the UK title, apparently, and that Triple H does, because he has it on the right guy. Pete Dunne is doing amazing. Yes, he's been champion for over a year. Finally, they're doing this show. I hope he doesn't lose it on the first fucking episode that they tape. But, man, He's something special. He's making that title mean something special. And every match he's having, you know, is just, it's, you know, people call Kenny Omega the best bout machine because he is. But for me, kind of right there behind him is Pete Dunne. And Pete Dunne's young, and he's getting better and better. And in 10 years, holy shit, where how good this man's going to be in 10 years is crazy. Absolutely crazy when he hits his prime finally. I would love to see Dunne be a multiple-year champion. Like, at least 2 years. Because that's something WWE hasn't had in forever. I mean, Asuka having the title for over 500 days was pretty awesome. I mean, at this rate, Brock Lesnar, maybe he'll be the guy to do it because, you know, he's never on TV. But anyways, yeah, it's... this is a great 2 days of wrestling. And I'm very excited for what we're going to see when it comes to the WWE... Sorry, NXT UK brand, if you will. So, do I want to talk about this week or not? Let's see, where are we at time-wise? We're at 21 minutes. All right, I'll talk about it this week. Pro Wrestling Guerrilla returns. The Battle of Los Angeles 2019, September 14th, 15th, and 16th. It's actually going to be in Los Angeles. They lost their venue in Reseda, so they're running L.A. They ran L.A. in 2005 and for the first Battle of Los Angeles. After that, they basically ran Reseda every year. I think they ran Burbank for 2 years, but definitely the last decade they've run Reseda every year. And finally in 2018, it returns to Los Angeles. So it actually will be the Battle of Los Angeles in Los Angeles. The first, I mean, they've announced all 24 competitors. My buddy Brian DeBrain, he's working on the custom PWG 2018 card set. I've already seen a lot of the cards. He's posted them on Twitter at Brian DeBrain. Holy crap, they're great. You gotta go check them out. PCO, the 50-year-old whose career was rejuvenated thanks to Joey Janela showing us how crazy this guy is, was the first entrant announced. Also announced Brody King, Jody Fleisch, Ilya Dragunov, the guy that I'm in total love right now. I'm very excited to see him come to the United States. Especially excited to see he's coming September 14th, 15th, and 16th, because literally, I think, a week later, Limitless Wrestling is running their anniversary show, and I've already been bugging Randy, book Dragunov, book Dragunov, book Dragunov. Book him, Randy, if you happen to be listening to this. Robbie Eagles, Joey Janela, another guy that I'm absolutely in love right now. You need to go watch his video announcing his opponent for Joey Janela Lost in New York. The way he's promoted his shows, yeah, Spring Break last year was rushed. Spring Break 2 this year was masterfully announced and promoted. This show, Lost in New York, fuck, I love Joey Janela. I do. Puma King. The Tournament King, David Starr, is in the Battle of Los Angeles this year. Ray Horace. Chris Brooks. Matt Riddle, Darby Allin, Adam Brooks, Flamita, Jonah Rock returns, DJ Z, Timothy Thatcher, T-Hawk, Seema, Jeff Cobb, the Kiwi Buzzsaw himself, Travis Banks, Bandito, Shingo Takagi, and then finally, Walter. This is a stacked lineup for the Battle of Los Angeles. You know, I'm not going to lie, the last few PWG shows I watched and I read about didn't thrill me, precisely. However, this... Whew! Yeah, this is awesome. This is an awesome lineup. I guess that's going to wrap me up for this week. I'll have more to talk about next week. Hey, you know, do yourself a favor. If you love New Japan Pro Wrestling and you want a t-shirt, but you're like, fuck, they're $25 on Pro Wrestling Tees, and there's still $20 like high spots, right now Pro Wrestling Tees is having an overstock sale of New Japan shirts. They're $9.99. They charge you a little bit more for an upsize if you need a 4X like myself. It only becomes $12.49 then. Anyways, free shipping in the United States, and it's just, you're going to get a random shirt. So it's a grab bag. But it's a New Japan shirt. It's Bullet Club, the Young Bucks, LIJ. They're all stuff that they sell at High Spots, and this is the High Spots overstock sale. They have limited quantities of each. Well, they have a certain number of each. I mean, last I looked, in my size, they had 88 left. They're guaranteeing no doubles unless you order more than 10. So, there you go. with the free shipping and everything, it makes it very appealing. Because, like, for me, you know, say I wanted that American Nightmare Cody Rhodes shirt. It's $24.99, I believe. And then it's, like, $4 more for a big, or $4.50 more for my size upgrade. And then it's, like, $7.99 for shipping. So it becomes, like, a $37 t-shirt. And I don't want it that bad. Maybe I'll get one for $10. Who knows? It's pretty cool sale. It's definitely worth checking out. Also, head over to my blog, thewrestlinginsomniac.com. I write about a lot of great wrestling stuff. And my buddy Brandon also writes about some wrestling stuff that I put on there. I just put one up about pro wrestlers on TV shows in the 50s and 60s. Now, granted, I only put three in there. That one's a little harder to find. My looking at the 70s, it's going to be more, 80s more, 90s more, and then, of course, you know, if I do the 2000s, I don't know. But it's a first in a series. I'm going to feature pro wrestlers that were on TV shows. And I'm going to try to stay away from the ones that you knew about the most, like Hulk Hogan being on the A-Team. I'm going to try and go more for, you know, the fact that, like, Nick Bockwinkel is on Hawaii Five-O, or the fact that Nick Bockwinkel is on the TV show for the Monkees. But yeah, so check it out, please, The Wrestling Insomniac. Give me a like on Facebook. Give me a follow on Twitter so you know when you have all the posts. I'm at Superstar Mal. I mean, if you follow me on Twitter, you can know about when the show goes up here, when the new posts go up on the podcast over there, I mean, on the blog over there. So, you know, or you can just interact with me, and we can talk about wrestling, or we can talk about other stuff, but mostly probably wrestling. So, cool. All right. Thanks.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.